Peter Gollin of CCP Games, developer of EVE Online. You're listening to The Gamer's Haven.
My name is Harley Stroh, and I'm the line editor for the Goodman Games Dungeon Crawl Classics. And you are about to enter the dungeon of the Vorpal Network. Snickeder snack. Roll for initiative.
It's game time.
Quiet, please. I am analyzing.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Is the next step the transplantation of the human brain?
Ballsy. Stupid, but ballsy.
Stand by for action.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Okay.
Remember, we're not dealing with an intelligence on our own level.
Bring in the logic probe!
Ooh! End of line.
This podcast is brought to you by
RPGNow.com, the leading source for indie RPGs on the web. Visit them at www.rpgnow.com and pick up a few PDFs for your electronic gaming shelf. They've got gaming products for D20, 4th Edition, Mutants and Masterminds, and a variety of other products as well. Check them out at rpgnow.com.
This podcast is sponsored by GMDice.com. You can never have too many dice.
Welcome back to the Gamer's Haven podcast. We are sitting down to record on this lovely, what is today?
February day.
February 18th of 2009. So 4 days sans that one day, Valentine's something or other, yes.
The day that shall forever be unnamed by Ethan.
A date that will live in infamy. But we actually have quite a few things to go over tonight. The topic of today's show is miniatures and miniature games and using miniatures and playing miniatures games, etc., etc., etc. So yes, you're going to hear lots of Warhammer talk, no doubt, but also probably some
D&D miniatures and Call of Cthulhu minis,
and I'll probably mention some Savage Worlds too. Who knows?
Yeah,
I'm crazy that way. Really though. That's about all for the intro. Come back later.
Vorpal Network is the bomb. The cutting edge of geekdom. Comics, advice, D&D. Movies, video games, RPGs. Finding it's easy, just stay calm. VorpalNetwork.com.
Get the newest releases at RPG Now. Only at RPG Now can you get the absolute latest and best releases from fantastic publishers like Fat Dragon Games, Green Ronin Publishing, and Wizards of the Coast. There are new products every single day. Come to RPGNow.com and get them the instant they're available.
Well, as you guys probably already know, those of you who listen to our show, all six of you,
yes,
we're a little
fan. Although I did find out today through our Facebook that we have a fan in South Africa.
Really?
We have a fan in South Africa.
Amazing.
That's cool.
Where in South Africa?
Crazy. I don't recall where it was, Cape, but I saw it was in South Africa. I was like, sweet!
Oh, what's the name of the place? I can't remember the name of the Cape. Cape of Wales? Is that what it is? I don't know.
I don't know
my geography.
Africa.
I'm an American. I have the right to not know anything about the rest of the world.
Yeah, it's okay.
No, it's
called
our school system.
That's why there's computers and maps.
Exactly.
Maps are made so you know where places are, and you don't have to remember it. You just look at the map.
Yeah. No, but as they may already know, we're a little behind.
Yeah, well, the way I've been releasing the episodes, though, is I've been releasing one of the backlog ones and then one of the newly recorded ones. So it's as confusing as I can make it that way. So I figured that was the best way to go about it.
Yeah, but for those of you out there that are a little miffed that we haven't been recording, I'm sorry. Real life takes precedence. There's nothing we can do about it.
I mean, these guys can attest. I tried to get them together numerous times over the last several weeks to get us recording, and we just had stuff going on.
So. There's too much stuff going on. So.
Like, you know, I had the death flu, and Nathan had the death flu.
And I don't have the death flu. I'm just sick.
Yeah, whatever. Death-like. And Jeremy is, like, doing some building in his house or something. Something about a
game room.
I don't know.
I don't know what he's thinking about with that.
I mean, really, come on, man.
Why would you want it?
Who needs a game room?
Yeah, who wants a game room anyways?
Who needs a game room, really? Okay, we do. But
yeah,
that's okay. Yeah. But in the last episode, we just managed to get the review of Alpha Omega out, and it was our young role-playing episode, so... Talked about role-playing when you are young and that sort of thing. But we're not all about that. And for the record, our South Africa fan just says South Africa Network. Didn't actually give his location. So we have a fan in South Africa, and we say hi.
Hello.
But that's not the topic of today's show. We're talking about
minis
and how much we love them.
Or hey, despise them when it comes down to the point that we have to paint them.
Paint them.
Curse you.
Yeah, but the painted ones are too expensive.
Or they suck.
Yeah.
I mean,
we'll get into that,
actually. Just look at the early D&D mini stuff. It was crap.
Yeah, we should talk about that later.
Really look at Mage Knight. Just go grab a handful of Mage Knight minis and take a look, and you'll see how crappy pre-painted minis can be.
But they're so inexpensive now.
There is that.
Yeah, we should talk about that later in the show, the pluses and minuses of various different types of miniatures. Yeah. So, first thing we should probably talk about is the various different types of miniatures you can find. There's different brands. Everyone knows, what is it, Darkhaven.
Reaper's minis. We've mentioned Reaper before. We've done a review on them before.
Yeah.
They're great for
generic
fantasy minis. And actually, they're developing new lines. They just launched a Chronoscope line, which is a new steampunk one,
isn't it?
Well, it's a new game because you know they have their warlord
Warlord is kind of cool.
It's like it's that, but pricey, it's actually though. More sort of taking a page from Heroescape. Of you have different time periods of different warriors, so like they have a Doc Holliday and they have the like cybernetic dudes from the future, and then they have samurai and da 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 da. So I mean they are. Branching out and doing other stuff, which is nice. That, and also they have their pre-painted stuff out now.
Which is okay.
Yeah, Reaper is good for generic fantasy. They do have some sci-fi lines too, or they used to. I don't know if they still do.
They're good for heroes too.
Oh yeah, and monsters. Their monster minis are actually fairly well done.
And they don't have a license for D&D or anything, but a lot of times you can find find good representations of like beholders or
the evil eye
mind
model.
Flayers or something like that. Actually, I think it's the evil eye beast. I think
the eye beast. Everybody knows Games Workshop minis. Anybody who knows Warhammer knows of Games Workshop minis.
Which have gotten a better price since they moved a lot to plastics. Some of the, I mean, if you buy one of their metal minis, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg. But if you buy like a box of their, you know, a box of their plastic minis, you're going to get a lot for, you know, well, 22 or 35 bucks.
It's for the standard battalion boxes, they're 35. For the new 10 model core boxes, they're 22. Mm-hmm. Or $24.95, depending on, or $25 if it's a battalion standard
command
unit. Thank you. Right. I can't speak.
And for the normal monsters, value wise, they're the best ones to go with a lot of times.
Well, the nice thing about the Games Workshop ones, buying the battalion boxes, is you need 20 orcs. you buy a box of orcs. You've got 20 orcs.
Right.
You need goblins. You buy a box of goblins. You got 20 goblins. You need lizardmen. You buy a box. You got 12 lizardmen. You know, you get
that's the one thing about the pre-painted stuff that WotC has yet to get through out. Their bloody thick skulls.
We thought they were, but
yes, they've gone to they're going to
the non-collectible,
non-randomized and semi-randomized kind of stuff. Yeah. So you still don't have the I need a box of orcs. The best suggestion I have heard from fans out there, and I pray to the gods above that WotC is listening, is like people are saying, like, for example, Keep on the Shadowfell.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a bad adventure. It's okay. But they would just make money hand over fist, and people would be willing to pay upwards of $50 for a box set of that comes with all the minis you need for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, and that way you get all the kobolds, goblins you need, da 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 da. And I think if they did something like that in a special edition, it would just make a lot more sense.
Yeah, I'd actually probably pick it up if they had a set like that.
Right.
And you know my current concerns about playing 4th Ed. No, I don't want to. I'm very reserved about it until I actually try it. So spending money on something that is not a tried and true product for me is like trying to pull teeth out of a crocodile. It's, you're going to lose fingers.
The key thing I want to point out about miniatures games is typically miniatures games is going to take a lot more space.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were all apartment living, we really didn't have enough space for miniatures, and so we went without them.
Yeah, or we went with very small groups of them.
Packed them away.
Yes.
Packed them away,
and then we never used them.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's such a hassle to get the game, get a table out to get the game going.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, which is why I'm saying if you're, most of us gamers are poor living in apartments, minis games and using miniatures in games, is going to be something that isn't going to happen.
Unless you have nice local game store that actually has tables set up for playing.
Or
you have to look at carting all that stuff.
If you are going to do that, you need to pick a game that you can use the creatures for a lot of different purposes.
Yes.
Like, you know, good old Warhammer. You can use orcs and goblins and dwarves.
And the ogres.
And ogres and all that stuff for multiple games. Okay. So that at least is multiple uses. And that is the nice thing. But you can... If you just start small, you can still get away with things like that. Or even better, just go with paper minis.
Yeah, those do
work. You can go online and get disposable heroes, campaign counters, anything like that.
Yeah.
You put them on a cardstock or put them on a regular paper and go and laminate it.
Yeah. The thing is though, when you, as you progress through life, if you enjoy playing war games with miniatures and stuff like that, you'll find that once you actually have a house... And you can dedicate space to it.
Yes.
Your collection will undoubtedly grow completely out of hand.
That is correct.
I have a whole back room dedicated pretty much to gaming, and about 9/10 of it is taken up by the various different armies of Warhammer figures and my Darkhaven miniatures and my Wrathum Call of Cthulhu minis.
Mm-hmm.
They pick up pretty much everywhere you look, there's minis in that room.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I don't have any problems with it. I'll never ever get around to painting them all. But I have them, so I have representations for pretty much anything I need if I need to put something out on the table. But, you know, the way miniatures work is they're great to collect because you can always find something to represent something on the table.
Mm-hmm.
I would almost say if you're living in an apartment and you want to do miniature gaming, I would probably go with the smaller ones. Like the smaller minis that
yes.
Maybe the ones where it's a full unit is a normal base.
Yeah,
like
War Master.
War Master. I believe that's the 10mm size.
Yeah, 10mm, yeah. Some of the 15.
The 15mm. Another one that's good for that is the Something in Flames.
Yeah.
World in Flames or something like that. It's a World War II.
Well, there's so many.
I know what you're talking about.
There's so many also historical. Someone will
correct me. I can't remember the name of it, but it's.
Someone's probably screaming at their MP3 player
right now.
Saying, I think it's Flames of War.
Thank you. Flames of War.
It's supposed to be a lot of fun.
Flames of War is really fun. I actually demoed it down at Tabletop, and I had a great time. I played against the Italians. And the Italians
did not... Did they change sides in the middle of it?
No, they did not flee. They kept doing this thing called Avanti, where they'd charge forward and attack my heavy vehicles and drop grenades down on my tanks and blow them up.
I hate it when
stupid
that
Italians.
But if you do the smaller minis, you can have more minis, but less space.
Yeah, and there's also another upside to the minis that we'll get, the 10mm and the 15mm minis that we'll get to later.
Yeah, if you're living in an apartment with limited space, getting away from actual like a war game, you can. We've already mentioned the using the paper minis, campaign mm-hmm. counters, that sort of thing. I'd highly recommend using that, especially since 4th edition is so miniature centric now. And there are other games now out there that are getting more centric on minis. Savage Worlds is pretty much dedicated to it.
Yeah, and it works quite well too. It's very effective.
It works well. I mean, you could listen to our Deadlands thing and hear, I think, now that I've got the rules down.
Yeah, it's really cool because, like, in the early D&Ds, you know, you could move 30 feet. And you're like, okay, well, I'm going to move, you know, this far to this place and then, you know, take pot shots. It wasn't until 3rd edition really heavily integrated the miniatures into the system right. that you finally got to the, okay, well, I move 30 feet, which is 6 squares.
Right.
So I move my six squares over here, and then I open fire. Mm-hmm. Since they integrated the minis, we complained about it bitterly when it came out because it was like, now we have to buy miniatures, which is another thing that we have mm-hmm. to buy to play the game that we like to play. But now that we've gotten used to it, I mean, it really helps. I mean, because it's like, okay, well, if I move this way, I'm going to have to move
by. Once you get into it, it's at least in role-playing-wise, it's something that is darn helpful. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some games out there that you should never, ever use minis for. In my opinion, a superheroes game like Mutants and Masterminds, don't use minis for because it's pointless. You can go. Your movement powers in that are so high. I mean, you go wherever the heck you want to.
It would be kind of neat, though, to say, hey, every player pick up a superhero mini just to have
to represent your character.
Right.
Because it kind of focuses the characters, but you're right, for actually use in the
and
game.
It's not saying you couldn't use, but don't do a two-scale map. No. You could have like a little diagram of what everything is. Everyone keeps their miniature and say, okay, you're approximately over here for clarification of where people are. The other game that comes to mind that I would never use minis ever again would be Feng Shui.
Yeah.
And the game tells you don't use miniatures for it. Doesn't work. Yeah, just chuck them across the room. Exactly.
What happened with that? Did I miss that one?
Probably. I tried using minis in Feng Shui, but in Feng Shui, it's just such a
fast-paced
game that it really just doesn't lend itself. You're more constrained by what the map says than anything. So if there is no map, use your imagination. It's Feng Shui.
Well, yeah,
it's
on
like,
top of that.
Okay, I want to use this pail that's over here. It's like, is it on the map? Well, no. People who don't see it on the map, they're going to assume, oh, it's not there. Well,
whereas
in Feng Shui, the prop midget is there.
Yeah, and the thing is with Feng Shui and Mutants and Masterminds as well, pretty mm-hmm. much, if you can think it up and the GM says it's okay, it's there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're not going to be able to pull out, you know, a thermonuclear detonator out of your back pocket.
No.
But, you know, I can pick up this bench over here and smack the guy in the head.
There are some superhero games, like Hero System and Champions, is you need a map for that because of the bloody physics involved in the stupid game, and everything is in inches.
And the accounting system.
And, you know, IRS forms for character sheets. But I'm digressing, of course, you know, in my love of Champions from yonder
countless
days of yore. But anyway, I would say definitely not a superheroes game, definitely not a game like Feng Shui. I would say definitely not a game like really anything that has the dynamic combat system in. And like any of the White Wolf stuff,
Wolf wouldn't work very well.
No, I don't know. What do you think about Paranoia? Do you think Paranoia would work well with miniatures?
It could, and
it could. It depends on how you run Paranoia. The way I run it, much more, you know, zap and slapstick. Not really.
That's just the way Paranoia should be run.
You're playing it more lighthearted. There's no real point in having a map.
It does say
then that's just too much work. It also takes away from the amount of paperwork and forms you could shove in front of players, but that's beside
the point. The best thing about Paranoia is in the rule book, it says if nothing happens for 10 minutes, drop a piano on one of the players to get things going.
Yes, exactly. and you don't want to just draw up random stuff, but you can get minis for it. I just don't think that game lends itself too well.
Some games collectible miniatures just to have,
which
they're not really for the game, they're just there.
Actually, one of the systems that actually has some interesting miniatures, I've never played it. It's called like AT-43.
Mm-hmm.
They're pre-painted. They look really nice.
Oh, yeah.
The only problem is that they're dreadfully expensive, but they have a race of like monkey people, which look really cool. Mm-hmm. You know, giant, you know, humanoid apes in spacesuits. I know, humanoid apes. Apes already look very human as it is. I know, bad grammar.
Well, the nice
on my behalf.
Thing about the different miniature games, though, you can normally find, you can take different minis from different games, and as long as they're about the same size, you can have your
Exactly.
Space monkeys and running around your fantasy.
You can also
realm
use minis for some board games too. You have little player pieces if you don't want to use a little wooden, you know, Monopoly piece or whatever for whatever you need.
It makes it more exciting when you replace.
Like, you can easily get some miniatures for the alternate characters in Betrayal of House on the Hill.
Yeah.
Easily.
Or half Ithalid, you know, lizard men.
There's also use half Ithalid lizard men, which Jeremy is very prone to do.
Basically everything.
There's also, you know, the Heroescape miniatures that come in the Heroescape
in general. You could use any minis for that.
Good old Mage Knight.
Yeah, good old Mage. Well, not good.
Good in the sense that they are inexpensive.
You can go on eBay and you can buy a bunch of Mage Knight
dirt
cheap.
You can yank them off their stupid bases and put them on better bases.
The only problem I have with them is that they're like glued down with, you know, elephant cement onto inch and a half bases.
And some of the minis, while the paint job is not great, some of the minis are funny.
Like
I've never
the
really
orc shaman.
The orcs, actually, that whole group of orcs is just funny.
Some of them are great, and you know, for cheap minis, like I bought a bunch of Gen Con last year because they were bloody cheap as hell.
And it's like, how much for that box of mini? Of those,
like, $2 sold.
I found on eBay.
I'll
at one
find
point,
a use for them. It was I just popped them off their bases and slapped them on Warhammer bases.
20 millimeters.
This was something ridiculous, like 250. Starting bid of like $13, and that was the shipping was more than that.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because it's so freaking heavy.
Oh my god, but it was tempting because you would have so many just minis,
right?
Just to
it would be your one minis purchase that you would need.
Yeah, you're like, there's going to be something useful in there.
Oh, yeah,
more than one,
right?
You know, so.
I mean, the D&D minis, obviously, are the big sort of collectible minis thing right now.
Oh, God.
I haven't bought any new ones since, like,
since the economy collapsed.
Well, there was that.
Yeah.
And their individuals are ridiculous. There's a Beholder I want. Stupid
expensive.
Some of
them are ridiculous. You have to shop around. If you shop around to some websites, you can find some at decent prices, which is what I did for that Cell Swords of Punjar. I shopped around and I found some ones that worked for what I needed, and I got them dirt bloody cheap.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, you know, as long as you don't have players or a GM that's going to go ape over something, use proxies.
That's true.
Which means use a different mini in place of that mini.
And I am all for paper, too.
Yeah.
Take a picture and punch it out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm one of those people that's kind of anal about proxies. In certain systems,
mm-hmm.
You know, as long as you have something, I don't mind proxies as long as they're somewhat closely representative of what you're supposed to be putting on the field. But if you have like a little guy on the table, and you're like, that's supposed to be a giant. No, not only hell no, but you better get that off the table before I hit you with it.
Base size and stuff like that.
No. Besides, I have a giant now, so.
Yeah. But the collectibles minis that are at least were out there, WizKids got shut down last year.
Which is still sad.
Yeah.
And Wiz so their Kids stuff is still sort of floating out there, although Catalyst Game Labs and another company, some people who were with WizKids, are trying to negotiate with Topps to get their intellectual properties for, like, HeroClix and, I think, HorrorClix.
Because HeroClix was...
Oh, and HaloClix.
HeroClix
was selling
cool,
really well.
It was selling okay.
HorrorClix...
When you consider
HeroClix is their... cash cow. But
I like HeroClix.
Yeah, I still have
Horror
a ton of HeroClix.
Are okay. They have individual.
I like the individual, like, special ones, like the Freddy and the Jason and the aliens and the Predators.
I like Halo, but I wouldn't spend the money on the minis.
Yeah, no.
No, God, no. The Halo minis were ungodly expensive, more so than any of the rest of their line.
WoW has Microsoft's their own minis, too. Yeah. WoW has their own minis, too, which...
Yeah, which,
WoW,
which have the Blizzard tax.
Blizzard,
yeah,
that, or a,
expensive.
Not really Blizzard, it was Upper Deck.
Upper Deck
is
they
out,
look nice,
putting
though.
Out the World of Warcraft
minis.
Collectible miniatures, and it's okay. The minis are cool looking.
Their paint jobs are very
again,
nice.
It's collectible, and...
They're pricier than they should be. They are not... scaled to like the and I think they did this on purpose. They're not scaled to be used with like the D&D minis or anything like that. So.
Oh no, they're like 31 millimeters or something.
So
there's some
like,
weird
okay.
off number.
You guys suck.
Which makes me not want to buy them.
Well, I have no other use for them other than to play the World of Warcraft customizable or collectible miniature game, and I'm not going to play that.
Most minis, if I can't use them in at least two or three games, I'm probably not going to pick it up unless it's just awesome looking.
There's the Mutant Chronicles miniatures game, which is not a collectible miniatures game, from Fantasy Flight. And I haven't heard anything about that since it launched, other than it was going to be collectible, then they decided it wouldn't be collectible.
Be better.
I haven't heard anything about it.
I've seen boxes of it, and they look cool. I like the Mutant Chronicles. I think it's a horrible ripoff of Warhammer, but whatever.
Yeah, well, actually...
I have no idea what this Mutant Chronicles is.
It was a three-book series back in the early 90s. And then it was a role-playing game series and a miniatures game.
It also had a video game, didn't it?
It had a couple of video games, none of them good. It had a collectible card game, and there is a movie coming out.
What?
Yeah, they've had a movie filmed for the last 2 years.
Are the minis about the same size as Warhammer minis or something?
Should be coming out this year, hopefully. What?
Are the minis about the same size as Warhammer minis?
Yeah, actually they are.
I think it's about. Just about. They're more like Warhammer 40K.
They're 28 millimeter. They're 28 millimeters.
The Dark Future Corporation stuff. I've read the books. The books aren't bad. The second book is awesome. Apparently, the movie is based on the second book, so that's cool.
Well, with Thomas Jane in it too, would make it probably pretty
and
interesting.
Ron Perlman.
Hell yeah.
We've gotten John into.
They have like a.
They got some names in it.
Yeah no kidding.
But we've gotten some cowboy minis.
Yeah.
Yes.
Recently. Yeah.
And you'd be surprised how hard you have to hunt for some stuff like that. And actually, go to your local game store, might have some just sort of hidden in a small corner. Historical minis.
We haven't even touched upon historical minis.
Yeah.
Civil War minis.
There's not just fantasy and sci-fi stuff.
There's actual historical combat. You have World War II.
There are gamers out there that are just like, oh, no, I'm not a gamer. I'm going to go play Napoleonic Wars.
It's like, well, you're a gamer.
Yeah.
You think about arguing with those people and then go, never mind.
It's not worth the effort.
And at that point, I'd be like, can I bring my Empire army?
Yes. Well, even Games Workshop has Ancient Battles. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and the interesting thing with the Ancient Battles is they actually don't, from what I understand, they don't supply any of the models for that line.
They don't.
It's just rules.
Yeah, it's just the rules.
The rules, and but, you have to find proxies.
Well, actually, the thing is
there
if you...
Companies.
Yeah,
you can
buy
other companies
that,
from... Tons of places on
the unit of Centurions. Have you guys seen those from? Company? They have them down there at Tabletop. Oh my god!
They also have Spartans from 300.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they are so pricey.
Yeah, they are very expensive, but man, are they nice looking?
Oh yeah.
I think it would be awesome just to see in like a unit of like say Spearmen for Empire, that was a unit of Centurion.
Oh yeah,
models.
And you know, as long as you're not playing in tournaments, who cares?
Yeah, who cares? Yeah.
We went on a hunt for a lot of cowboy minis because
we're playing Deadlands.
Deadlands for Savage Worlds. Picked up a bunch from the War Store, which Jeremy showed me.
I like the War Store.
I also picked up a bunch of, and now this is for those cheap people out there who need proxies for. A game of, say, hey, you need a bunch of minions, or you're playing Deadlands, or whatever, go to a dollar store and buy a bag of army men and cowboys and Indians.
Oh, yeah.
Best cheap minis ever. Some of them might look kind of funky, but they get the point across. And it's a buck for like 100 of them, for crying out loud. So, really, come on.
Oh, something about the War Store, too. After making that order, I had an email from both of them. Like an actual email, which I was kind of surprised. I don't know if they personalize it. I don't know if it's an automatic thing that they personalize, but it was kind of cool.
Oh yeah,
I liked the customer service over the internet. It was
and
I didn't buy any from the War Store. I was looking at the historical ones
and
that one.
Go to your local game store first.
War Store, War Store was nice.
We're big on going to local game store first, and if they don't have it, then go ahead and go online.
But you found a set of pre-painted miniatures at our local game store, which were very nice.
Crystal Cast is kind of random ones.
Yeah, well, they only have one Wild West set.
Yeah, one Wild West, but I mean, like, then they have one, I think
they have two
elves?
Two investigators from Dunwich set, which are like Call of Cthulhu stuff.
Yeah, those I don't really care too much.
They're not actually licensed.
They're not licensed, so they can't be, but... They're
probably could be licensed under the new licensing from Chaosium, but that's beside the point.
I need to look up that. I hear that license is really impressive.
Mm-hmm. Because, more like the OGL.
Because they can't get the writers to write the stuff in house. So
yeah, that's fine. Anyway, historical minis, huge market for that. Mm-hmm. There's where you can't find a gaming convention, you might be able to find a war game convention around.
Oh yeah, there's one here, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. Can't remember its name now, but yes, there is one here.
We were going to go to it, but life interjected.
Yes, life does its thing. But the historical minis, futuristic minis.
Airplane minis?
Yeah, Wings of War. Wings of War.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what was that other one that came out? It was on Xbox.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I have it. Crimson Skies.
Yes, Crimson Skies. Thank you.
There's also Battlefleet Gothic.
Well, we're forgetting things like Mech Warrior, BattleTech.
Yeah.
BattleTech.
You can get their minis for a decent price.
Some of their minis are really nice, too.
Buy their introductory box set.
Yeah.
If you want mechs, buy their introductory box set. It comes with like 40 plastic minis. They're not painted, but who cares?
There's still things like, you know, the Mad Cat and the Goliath and stuff in there, mm-hmm. which are like, you know, these staple BattleTech minis BattleTech.
And if you really want minis that are painted, you can go with the collectible ones. You know, mm-hmm. that BattleTech has their collectible one.
Their collectible line, their metal collectibles. Have you seen those?
I haven't seen the metal. I have a couple of the plastic ones.
Oh, they have metal collectibles. Oh man, the detail on them is unbelievable. I saw one of a hell something.
I don't know.
I can't remember. It has been
over a decade since I've played BattleTech.
It was modded. It had two PPC long range PPC cannons and two missile banks on its back. It was painted to look like a specific clan. It was an incredible model. And the detail on the model itself and the actual molding, oh, was exquisite. You know, when you think about it, you think, oh, giant robot, not much detail. No, like each individual rivet and plate you could see for the armor.
And that's the nice thing about those particular games. If you want to not have to deal with stats, you like HeroClix. It's all there.
It's all on the dot.
It's easier for kids to learn, and it's fun for adults, too. I mean, and it's your childhood superheroes. You know, just little things like that.
You look at it and you go, hey, you know, that's you know, something that...
Mm-hmm. You know, back in the day, you had things like HeroQuest and Dark World, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
You can
I remember
find
Dark World.
HeroQuest War figures. Their bases aren't quite the
same. I have Warhammer Quest down in the basement, a full, complete box set. Never even been opened.
I to play that, actually.
It's like Battle.
It's like there was HeroQuest, then HeroQuest Advanced, and then there was Warhammer Advanced, and then you were playing Warhammer.
Yeah.
So.
Warhammer Quest, you mean?
Warhammer
goes.
Yeah, Warhammer Quest. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. But yeah, it's
still
the only.
Always want to play.
There's a lot of metal in it. The doorway, all the door frames are metal, which is weird because all the models are still plastic. It's like they took all the plastic models from the Mattel HeroQuest and put them into the Warhammer Quest.
I mean, obviously they developed the HeroQuest thing.
We're forgetting about like random companies like whoever does the Mega Miniatures.
Mega Minis is the name of the company.
They have so
many. I went to their site. They have a ridiculous number of minis. You can get anything you want.
They're cheap pewter minis that are, you know.
They're not going to be high quality looking.
They're not high quality looking, but if you need a box of pirates, or if you $25
pirates
gets you a bunch. You know?
King's Court pigs, animals.
Yes.
If you want random animals?
Yes. And I think the name of the company is Mega Minis.
Yeah, I think they have an eBay site.
They're the ones that have the bag of minis, right? Like the bag of orcs, bag of skellies.
That's a different company, and
I haven't seen them.
They do a collection of. They like gather up orcs from. You know, Reaper or from D&D, and they shove them in a bag, and then they sell them for you.
Oh.
But
that's usually a pretty good deal.
Obviously, no company has... Mega Minis is the closest company that's come to a bag of orcs, you know, as far as...
Which...
Just go and you buy one.
You really needed a... Like, their Dwarven unit, I actually looked at it, because there are a lot of them, and they're decently priced, you know. If you need Castle Guard or Villagers, I mean, just random things like that, they're not too badly priced. Now, they're not going to be super high.
Also on the cheap, we mentioned the counters, but I would also say go get yourself a 1-inch circle hole punch.
Yes.
And if you've got a ton of Magic cards sitting around, or if your local game store sells single Magic cards, you can go get yourself some of those.
Hole punch out the face
of whatever's on that you need,
and
you
there
want
you go.
Like an orc or a goblin,
if
or
if you lose a couple,
skeleton.
Who cares?
I mean, that's like 10 cents a pop, mini at least, you know. And
you can
and,
get so many,
and
it's
they're
ridiculous.
And they're good quality. They're good quality. They're card stock.
Yeah,
so they're durable, and they're perfect for minions. Perfect for minions.
The ones that die in one hit.
Yes, they're great for that.
But I do like the bag of army men and cowboy idea.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's actually not a bad idea. I wish they did some more. I bet you could look around and find like medieval and things like that.
Oh, yeah. Go to your go to Hobby Lobby or Michael's, places like that. I really highly recommend going to like a dollar store first because you'll get them cheaper there. And yes, you'll have some that are like, you know, half melted or, you know.
But those are the ones you finish melting.
Half, and it's like, eh, who cares?
Or you shoot at them.
You paid a dollar for it, for crying out loud.
Or Legos.
Or Legos.
You can use Legos for minis. They work well. They're more expensive, though.
That is true.
But awesome.
Well, there's also miniatures rules for fighting with Legos.
Oh, there is.
Yeah, that is awesome.
There's multiple ones. Mm-hmm. You can build whole dungeons. It is awesome.
Was it Brick Wars, I think?
There's Brick Wars, which actually Brick Wars has an updated version, and it's funny. It's so stinking funny. You need to link to their site.
No, I'll take a look at it.
Yeah, they have a whole rant about rules.
Yeah, Brick Wars is a miniatures combat game using Legos.
But there's another site that actually talks about how to build dungeons for your other minis out of Legos.
Which reminds me, there's a company out there, Lifeman, I think it's Crunchy Frog is the name of the company.
Crunchy
They put out two different games. There's Critter Commandos, which uses you know, action figures and stuff like that as army men, stuff like that as miniatures, as a miniatures battle game. They also have another game that I, for the life of me, cannot recall. I will look it up, however. There's Critter Commandos, and there's... it's like massive biological entity, something like that. But what it is it you use stuffed animals as giant monsters that terrorize cities.
That's funny.
And they fight each other. There was a company called I think Clay Commander, or there was a game called Clay Commander or something like that, where you actually would make your own monster using Play-Doh, and they'd fight some of the attacks involved you picking up your monster and dropping him from 3 feet above the mat. And whatever damage was actually done to the figure was actually done to him. It was pretty funny. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but you can probably find that stuff in PDF format at RPG Now. A great selection of PDFs on there with especially with minis, counters, that sort of thing. Great stuff. One thing I was looking at for Deadlands was this set called Whitewash, the Whitewash City Minis, which are actual cardboard cutout buildings you can actually make.
Yeah, that's something we haven't really talked too much about, is the miniature terrain because... Yeah.
Like Fat Dragon Games puts out
Fat Dragon does a quite
tiles
some.
And their dungeon.
E-tiles.
There's the Hearst Arts model.
Well, Hearst Arts is...
You build terrain with it. It's not pre-set up. They give you the tiles and you build them.
Those sets are
not
bad.
Awesome. That are updated. They're putting more stuff out, not just for fantasy and for sci-fi. Stuff, They've got stuff out. Like, there's one company that started putting out stuff for like 1920s style games where you can build like a little Ford Model T.
How about those that company that does those dungeons? Like the actual dungeons, you can get painted ones, but you can also get cast.
Dwarven Forge,
expensive.
Yes, if you have a lot of money to spend, that stuff is the creme de la creme.
They are nice.
It is nice.
And they don't just do dungeons anymore. They had a South American set at Gen Con on display. Oh, yeah. There were parts that I would have loved to have bought for Call of Cthulhu. Mm-hmm. The first day, 2 hours after the hall opened up. Because I'd been busy actually doing interviews before that because we got in early. Mm-hmm. And I was doing interviews and stuff. By the time I got there, 2 hours after they opened, they were sold out of everything. Yeah. And we're talking like some of those pieces. There was like this temple. It was $230. It was gone. But it was so awesome. It had a Cthulhu like looking head on top of the temple with tentacles and stuff. Oh, it was nice.
That is something to think of, though. I mean, if you're using minis in your RPG, is sometimes go 3D.
Yeah.
Going 3D is not that hard. You can buy cheap cardstock that goes through your inkjet printer or through your laserjet printer at Walmart, for crying out loud.
It's the ink that's expensive.
It is the ink that's expensive, but...
But yeah, the e-tiles, mm-hmm. you know, they're nice. Or the buildings, just the paper buildings. Mm-hmm. There's so many sites. And a lot of them sell it, but it's usually cheap. It's like $1, and you get as many patterns as you want, basically.
Mm-hmm. One gold mine like we found for terrain, not just paper terrain, but for me's lots of buildings and whatnot, is go to Michael's, go to Hobby Lobby, and you can find, go to their birdhouse section.
Yeah, don't be afraid to go to those types of stores as a gamer.
It's going
to
feel very strange being the youngest person there by about 30 years, but that's fine.
Or possibly the only male, depending on if you're...
Or the only male there, if you're a male.
Yeah, that happens a lot when I go there to pick up supplies.
You do get some funny looks.
But the nice thing is you can find cool stuff for your miniatures.
Mm-hmm.
I'll occasionally go in and just walk around just and go, how could I use mm-hmm. that in a game, you know?
That's how I found that styrofoam castle thing, and it was $15, and it's cheap, crappy styrofoam, but hey, mm-hmm. it's a big fort for, you know... That's perfectly sized for minis.
Diorama stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff is great for terrain, popsicle sticks, all sorts of things.
Oh, yeah, popsicle sticks.
Popsicle sticks and hot glue. A hot glue gun is all you really need for tons of terrain.
Well, hell, popsicle stick, a carpet knife, and hot glue so you can cut it up to make it look like a clunky old wooden bridge.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Or if you don't have a knife, just break it.
They also sell popsicle sticks that are notched. For building stuff, I've seen those. They already sell colored popsicle sticks there too. If you don't want to deal with painting it, which gets into painting.
Oh God,
I like painting. I'm a fan of painting.
Ethan can like painting. Ethan actually is decent at painting. The rest of us, I am so retentive on when it comes to doing detail. And my hands shake so much because I've never had steady hands. I don't know why. Yeah, probably I drink too much soda pop.
This is why he failed
his brain surgery, by the way.
Yeah. I killed too many patients. What can
That's
I say?
That's why my units take so long to paint. Because I'm like, I'll do one 4 hours later. Okay, I'm going to bed.
See, the thing is Jeremy has the same problem I do. I can't just slapdash it. I want everything to look good. And the thing is, you know, for your units, they tell you, even on the websites, don't paint them to look good. Paint them to look like they're a unit on the table. Make sure all the colors match, and who cares how good they look? I want them to look good.
That's assembly line painting. It's like if you're painting a unit of stuff, then obviously you can try to paint each one differently, or you can paint them all the same. That's fine. But I find painting the character models a lot more fun. I really enjoy painting not only like character models and speaking of characters for Warhammer, but characters for any game we're playing, D&D, Savage Worlds, that sort of thing. I mean, I painted pretty much all the minis that we use for Savage Worlds.
Yeah, and they look good.
And it's nice to paint minis because you give them that you give them the character that you want. You know, I mean, it's you customize it that way. It's one reason I'm not a big fan on using pre-painted stuff for my character. Unless you find the perfect one. You find the perfect one, then you're done, you know. My tips for painting is just, you know, take it one step at a time and you know, don't expect your stuff to look like the stuff out of White Dwarf or anywhere, because those people are, you know, world champion painters.
Yeah, they don't call them heavy metal for nothing.
And really, it's if you don't want to paint them, don't.
And
who cares?
Don't start with the expensive paints mm-hmm. or the professional paints. Go to Walmart, go to Hobby Lobby,
and get the cheap acrylic paint.
Because, you're going to start off, I recommend...
You get the Games Workshop paint for, you know, $2 for a vial of it. You can go for 50 cents
and get
about four times as much paint.
And really, the best thing to do is if you decide to try a miniature game, buy one of those small, battalion groups, or what's the smaller one? Unit, I don't know.
For what?
For like a Warhammer. The box sets.
Those are army units.
Are you talking the, like, just a unit box
or
something?
Yeah, unit boxes.
I wouldn't say go buy a battalion box or something.
No, not a battalion.
Just buy,
like, a unit box, and then buy your cheap paints.
Or
and
go buy
try to finish
or,
that
or
off.
Or go buy one of the Mega Minis thing. For
Mega Minis
and get a ton of orcs or undead or whatever you need.
Or do what we used to do. When it came to orcs and skeletons, we just spray painted them.
Yeah.
One color. Occasionally you put some color on their weapon.
Yeah.
My painting job sucks, so I don't have really much room to say anything about.
Painting takes a lot of time. I consider painting another hobby rather than in addition to what I do. as far as gaming and miniatures gaming,
but if
that
you
sort
get
of thing.
Good at it, you can actually go to your local gaming store and ask if you can put up your name, mm-hmm. and you can make some a few extra bucks painting minis for gamers who don't want to paint.
Right.
Yeah, I've strongly considered on many occasions finding someone and paying them the several hundred dollars to paint my models, mm-hmm. my minis, because I just... my problem is
people
yeah,
that do it.
I may be able to finish a unit, but the thing is no matter how good it looks, I could look like the best thing on the face of the earth, I will never be satisfied with whatever I paint. It'll never be as good as
there's
I want
a couple
it to
that
I don't
I'm
know
satisfied
why.
With. Like my War Wagon so far, except for some touch up, I'm pretty satisfied with. I got to get the minis done on it.
I mean,
there's a lot of good tutorials online for painting. Free stuff online, free tutorials mm-hmm. online that you can go read. And get some really good pointers and really good advice on how to paint. What I would tell you to do is, if you're going to paint minis, go to your local Michaels, go to your local Hobby Lobby, someplace like that. Buy some brushes from them. Make sure they're you know, not crappy brushes, but don't. You know,
yeah, don't spend a lot of money.
Don't spend $15 on a brush. It's just you're going to ruin it eventually.
Don't spend a lot of money on the first brushes or the first thing of paint. Mm-hmm. Even that model paint that they use for just model planes.
Don't
and things.
Don't go overboard. I mean, buy a couple different paints. Yeah, you know, don't spend more than you know $10-$15 on all this stuff.
Do get something you can use as a base, and then you do mm-hmm. need to pick up something to spray over the minis to protect them.
I recommend...
Acrylic clear coat.
Yeah. I recommend buying, and you can buy these at Hobby Lobby and places. You can also go to a medical supply store getting forceps. Forceps are great to hold minis up because they have two handholes and they lock together.
Which I need to get some of those.
Actually, the best way I've
that's
seen...
That's what I've used for years.
The best way I've seen for being cheap, take a bottle, like a 20-ounce soda pop bottle, fill it full of sand, take the green stuff, put it on the top, stick your mini on top of it. You can turn the bottle while painting mm-hmm. with one hand, and it holds it rock steady at about eye height on the
or
table. It works great.
We use old paint bottles.
Yeah.
Well, occasionally, we won't even base our guys. We'll have a base on there, and it's one of those bases that's like it's just a difficult base, and we'll just stick the guy in it mm-hmm. with some of the glue dots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, glue dots, or get sticky tack.
Sticky tack, glue dots. I mean, though if you get glue dots, keep it away from your dog, because dogs seem to like eating it.
Well, your dog is an idiot, so.
Yeah, that's true.
She has some small problems. She's a sweet dog.
I like having forceps because then I can move it around and angle it at different angles. One thing I just did pick up is if you go to Radio Shack, there's a thing for soldering called a helping hands. That has it's a little device basically. It's hard to describe. It's got a base on it that has a sponge inside, which you can remove because you don't need it. It's got a base on it. It's the central pole on top of the pole on a pivoting sphere is a magnifying glass.
Oh yeah, those are nice.
And then there's a crossbar with two alligator clip arms that are adjustable on it as well. So I mean, you could use that. I've used that to hold stuff together for gluing and whatnot. Plus, it's good to hold stuff together if you really need to fine detail work. But this is getting into if you really want to get into it and really want to spend the time. And this is not something I'd say go out and buy if you're just starting to paint. Start slow, and you might discover you don't like it. If you don't like it, then if you've only spent $10, fine.
And at that point,
don't go off and buy a $75 paint station. Just don't do it.
Or don't go off and buy the mega paint set that has all the different colors of paints for like $300, and then find out you don't like painting because you're just going to be very pissed off that you spent so much money.
Buy a couple colors. Don't go overboard.
And also,
one or two brushes.
If you need to kind of also look at your painted minis as they're not going to be that great starting off. Just mm-hmm. be happy with your work, because you can always go back and repaint them.
Oh, yeah, and there are methods to take this paint off, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's actually chemicals and stuff you can use,
well,
those
chemicals, you can actually use Pine Sol to do mm-hmm. it. Soak it in Pine Sol. Comes right off.
Or, as we said, there's always people around, either one willing to do it for free or for mm-hmm. money. Mm-hmm.
And some game stores actually sell, you know, minis that are painted. Granted, you're going to pay a little more for it, but a lot of times, those minis are going to look absolutely fabulous.
Especially for character models.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes
it's
worth it.
What you did with Gorick.
Yeah, just found one, and he was willing to sell it. So I know you occasionally see it on eBay too, and I mm-hmm. know that these people go out, they'll buy a battalion set
right.
for however much, they'll paint it, and then they'll charge an extra $50 to $100.
Right. People pay it too.
Yeah, because they're like, huh, that is sweet. And I mean, if you have the money to do that, that's fine.
Yeah.
I really, the whole hardcore gamer that's like, you have to buy the mini, put the mini together, paint the mini. Mm-hmm. You don't have to. If you have a shortcut or you have the money to do it, then that's fine. There isn't any hardcore gaming rule for it.
Oh, yeah.
So, but there is something nice about having a finished painted mini.
There is, it is nice. The payoff, I think, what I like about it is the payoff is once the mini is done and I have painted it, I have inked it, I have washed it, I have...
Oh, yeah, inks are even...
Yeah, inks and washes. That's getting into pretty complicated stuff, but... once you do that, and then you put the clear coat on it to seal it, once it all dries, I like looking at it because, you know, it's like, that's something I've done, and it's mm-hmm. it's just, it feels good to have this completed thing in front of you. And if you have the patience for it, I recommend painting minis. But if you don't do it. No big deal.
Or get your friends together. I mean, if you're going to have a war game thing, get your friends together and have painting sessions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a lot easier to paint when you have people around, you know, listening to music, chit-chatting. You may only get one done, but who cares?
Oh, yeah. Don't expect to go through, you know, 10 no. minis in a day. I mean, the most I've ever done in a day is about 4.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this is not... It's not something that you burn through real quick.
No.
Yeah, actually, the most I've ever seen done in one day was 15 in an assembly line setup. But mm-hmm. the thing is we only painted for 4 hours.
Yeah, my only problem with assembly line, though, I get bored fairly quick. So I'll have, like, one guy that's complete, the other guy has his shoes painted, and the last guy has a feather. And I'm like, huh, I'm done.
Done.
Well, see, the thing is you're doing the assembly line thing wrong, then. I can actually show you how I do the assembly line thing. You go through, you get the color that you're supposed to paint. Go through, grab the first mini, paint the area that's supposed to be that color, put them down, go to the next mini, paint mm-hmm. that area that's supposed to be that color, put them down, grab the next one, do that. You do, like, 5. And you go back, do the next color that you need to do mm-hmm. in the area, do the areas, and go through. And that's how, like, I don't know if you guys saw them, but my Men-at-Arms models that I've been working on, minis, they're, you know, they've got the skin colors done, they've got their clothing done, and they've got the bases are started. You know, I did that in 20 minutes. But the thing is, I think they're coming off well. I'm not happy mm-hmm. with them not I looking like the heavy metal figures.
And it's not for everybody. It's though, definitely not.
I have to say, and if I can find the nice paint Although markers.
Although my horses
again,
look pretty nice.
Mm-hmm. I will paint my minis with the markers because I did that once. I had these. They weren't nice, but they were okay.
They looked better
markers.
Than the old.
And you have so much control over them. It was really pretty funny.
Yeah. They look a lot better than the old Mage Quest figures or the Mage.
Most things.
Mage Knight figures.
But, I mean, there's so many different painting techniques. And then once you get good at it.
It's hard to say this is what you need to do to paint because you'll figure it out yourself.
But seriously, if you don't care, if you want your orcs to all be green and your skeletons be white,
who cares?
Spray paint them.
Yeah.
There you go. Spray paint them, put the clear coat on, and you're done. If you ever want to go back, you can.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah. So. And see, the thing is one of the things that they don't really talk about, but this is a little trick I learned from several of the people that paint up a tabletop is that a dull coat always looks better on fantasy minis than a gloss coat mm-hmm. for your lacquer to seal the minis. But what places won't tell you is you go over it with a gloss coat, you go back over it with a dull coat. Because mm-hmm. a dull coat will dull out the gloss and make the figure look dusty and old.
See,
and then you'll see when the coat starts to wear off because the dull coats mm-hmm. wear off, it'll start to get shiny. So you just go back over and reapply the dull coat.
And I don't use a dull coat at all. I just use a gloss coat.
Yeah.
Because I like the gloss.
Well, yeah. Well, with your guys are all nasty chaos things, and so they need to look shiny and slimy, and their armor needs to look metallic.
I don't want to be shiny.
So his army needs to be shiny. My armies, my ogres, yeah, they don't need to be shiny, because if they're shiny, that means they're sweaty, and I don't even want to think about sweaty
cream corn.
Nasty ogres. Yeah. So I'll go dull coat mine.
The other route eventually. You can go is just painted minis, pre-painted minis.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to spend a lot more.
Yeah. Generally, you're going to spend more.
A lot more.
You're going to probably have to put up with collectible mm-hmm. stuff.
Generally, yes.
Generally,
there
random
are a few
stuff.
Out there. I mean, we mentioned Reaper. Reaper does do a pre-painted line, which is not bad. It is getting better.
Well, their first ones were pretty.
And when they say
their first ones were pretty lame.
Yeah, when they say things like in the D&D minis, they had what, common, uncommon, and rare, or something like that. There's a reason some minis are common.
Because they're because lame.
Their paint jobs suck. I mean, I've seen a couple where like the eye is this the eye is basically the whole head, and I'm like, I could do a better job than that. But then you know the rares aren't super awesome, but they're not horrible
bad. I mean, you're what's his name? Shigeru? Not Shigeru. What's that dragon's name?
Oh,
Tiamat.
Tiamat's not bad.
Tiamat could use some touch-ups.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But she could use some highlights.
All pre-painted
she could use some highlights. Exactly. But things like...
But don't feel shoehorned in that you have to buy pre-painted stuff either. I mean,
you can run around.
Buy the non-painted stuff, and you're fine with using the non-painted stuff?
Yeah.
So use the non-painted stuff.
And my only thing is with the non-painted, I do recommend putting on at least one coat of something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's something I'm going to do with mine is put on some coat because... Sometimes that will put out some of those details that are kind of nice to look at. Instead of just leaving them gray, I mean, if do whatever.
Well, actually, what I did with my Pegasus Knights, the Pegasi, I got the Warhammer basing air gun, and that worked great because I mixed up some of the Carcharodon gray or whatever it is, or Carcharodon gray, depending on who you talk to, and I mixed it up with the water, put it on, and sprayed it on. And all the minis were base coated black, but I just went right over the top of them all with the gray, and it looks, the funny thing is you can't even tell that they were ever base coated in the first place. Because it's like the exact same gray, but it starts off with a base, now I have a light base, I can go over it with a darker color over the over that to have the highlights come through.
And if you just like putting them together, then just put them together, clean up the lines, you just have some, you know, basic minis, whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I
think the key thing we're trying to point out here is if you're using minis, if it's for a miniatures game, if it's for a war game, if it's for role playing, is don't go overboard if you're just testing the waters, and if you don't have the space for it, don't do it.
Yeah.
If you have the space and there is the demand for it, test the waters with unpainted stuff or pre-painted stuff, really.
Or paper ones again. Or
paper
something.
Ones, exactly. Or a mix of the two. That's what we do for it works great for D&D 4th edition is you have the named characters are, are actual minis, and then counters are used for everybody else. And it works beautifully that way that people can easily discern who's a minion and who's not that way.
Or really, if you do go look at, like, the Mega Block site or the Lego site, they have fantasy or some fantasy type, medieval miniatures and things. You know, raid your kids' Legos, or if you have some old school ones, go on eBay. You know, things like that. They're already pre-painted. You can do whatever you want with them. All of that, any of that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, works quite well.
We should wrap up this discussion real quick. Are there any final thoughts on miniatures gaming?
With miniatures gaming, getting into miniatures gaming, be sure you have a lot of time to devote to it, because building will take a long time.
Time, space, and money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The three
big things for it, yes.
Yeah.
And just kind of, take it, be calm about it, take it slow, maybe a few sets at a time.
Mm-hmm. I'd recommend going to, if you have a local game store that runs game nights, that runs miniatures events, go... Play a miniatures game.
Yeah,
because a lot of times they'll run
demos. A lot of
times
they'll have house armies.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And just go play before you buy, I mean, test it out if you like it. It's the best way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, several of the games we didn't talk about, though, which I kind of feel bad. We didn't talk about Lord of the Rings. We didn't talk about Warhammer 40K very much. And, those are big games. And there's also that War Machine, which is really big.
War Machine actually, incidentally, has done... The Privateer Press posted a significant loss last year over War Machine. So they're actually... But the thing is, War Machine's all metal.
Mm-hmm.
And now Privateer Press is heavily considering going plastics with it. So.
I think most of the companies should.
Mm-hmm. And we also didn't mention the Privateer Press also puts out a collectible game called Monsterpocalypse.
Yeah.
Which is,
I just want a couple of them. I don't care about the rest.
But... I bought one of their starter sets at Gen Con because I wanted one of the... I wanted one just because it was funny, and they're giant monsters fighting in terrain, and it's a fun
game.
But it has that nasty collectible word in there.
But there's, I mean, basically it comes down to use whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Toys, you know, minis. If you want to use candy for miniatures, you know, use whatever you want.
Use what you have.
Right? There are a lot of board games out there that you could get into that have minis too. That
Risk
you could use.
Pieces, you know.
Well, Risk Pieces. I'm talking a game like Descent,
or something
like that. It's like if you're thinking about buying a big board game from Fantasy Flight, it probably has minis in it, and if it has minis, you can probably use said minis for D&D, for Savage Worlds, for whatever the heck you're going to play.
Ooh, you can go the special edition Settlers of Catan.
Jeremy's already said, it's like, if you have, it's $400. Jeremy's already said, if you can use it for multiple things,
that's
score.
The better thing, yeah.
And so if you're going to buy a board game that has minis, well... If you're going to play the board game, great. You're going to use the minis for something else too? Great. Do it. It works great that way.
And minis always lighten up a board game anyway.
And also, real quick note on proxies is if you're not going to play in tournaments, don't be afraid to use proxies. If you're playing a war game, if you're playing Warhammer 40K, whatever.
Yeah, if you have people like me who are slightly anal about it, just hit them in the head.
Yeah, just smack them upside the head with a bat. You'll be fine. We don't condone hitting people in the head with a bat, although there are some people.
We forgot to talk about the ultimate miniatures thing, though.
What is the ultimate miniatures thing?
If you have access to the actual molds and make your own.
Oh, yes.
That would be the ultimate.
There's terrain that you can do that
Screw
with.
Screw the terrain. If you can make your own.
There are miniature molds that you used to be able to buy. I don't know if you still can. I know Raffam used to sell miniature molds, but that was a long time ago.
You
that
can
was when
generate...
you stewed lead in your own kitchen.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah. I wouldn't really recommend that. But if you're artistic enough, you could make your own molds.
Yeah,
and you could generate all the minis you want.
That is true.
But you should note that it is very expensive to do a mold.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
because you have to do.
It's expensive and it's messy.
Yes.
I would also put out the general caution is if you have little ones,
don't
if you have pets,
they
typically will like to play with said minis.
Yes, they will eat them.
So be very careful, especially if you're buying used minis or buying them on eBay or buying them from an old bin. Make sure they're about their lead content.
Yeah.
Most minis now have no lead content at all.
But if you're a collector... you may pick up some of the little toys,
like the original
the tin
D&D,
and the
like
lead
the original
toys.
D&D minis and stuff are all lead minis.
Or even
so
farther back.
About that.
Think about like Civil War toy, you know, things like that. All that stuff, you got to be careful.
Little toy soldiers, stuff like
don't
that. You got to be careful with that stuff.
Or just really don't let your pets chew on the normal ones because they will eat your guys' legs.
Yes. Yeah. But
and then you have no way of actually basing the guy.
You just use him as a casualty at that point.
Yes.
Yep.
Or just say, well, the dog already ate half of him. Here you go.
Well, that is it for our discussion today on miniatures games. We will be back with our three-parter after this.
Hello, this is Richard Hatch from Battlestar Galactica. When you play a role-playing game, do you like to have your own dice? GMDice.com is one of the best selections of dice on the internet. From stone dice to metal dice and even bone dice, GMDice.com is your dice store.
Gamers Haven and the Vorpal Network, in association with Pinnacle Entertainment Group, present. A Thousand Monkeys Production.
Deadlands. Enough room to die.
An actual play recording of Deadlands Reloaded. Available for download at www.CanadianCrusaders.com.
This is the Vorpal Network.
With the wonderful three-parter. We haven't actually done a three-parter in quite some time.
I know, it's difficult.
But that's okay. The this triumphant return of the wonderful three-parter.
Insert corn sound here.
Yes, insert corn sound here.
Horn.
Horn sound.
Oh, horn sound. Okay, no porn sound.
This is a different...
I am not editing porn sounds into my show.
No. No. Dun, 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 dun.
Okay. Fanfare, right?
Yeah, fanfare. No, horns.
That's not porn sound. there can be horns in porn.
That is true. But they are not. They are not mutually exclusive.
I thought porn music was more of a.
Guess it depends on the porn.
And we've already digressed. Anyway, today on the three-parter, I've got a rant. Jeremy has well, something. He'll have something, and Nathan's got a review.
A lovely, lovely review.
So, what do we want to do first?
Why don't you rant? Because I want to hear. Okay. About
I want to hear
your
rant.
We will do a lovely rant first.
The rant.
All right. Well, today on my lovely little rant, you know, my you know, illogical musings on things that annoy me, is directed at Wizards of the Coast. Wizards of the Coast recently unveiled their beta of their character builder. And their beta version of the character builder allows you to create characters level 1 to 3, no multi-classing, no customization, that sort of thing. The character builder is very nice. It is a very decent program. It does help create characters very well. I'm a bit annoyed that it's fairly limited, but I also understand that it's in beta. Well, up until I subscribed to an RSS feed from Wizards of the Coast, and I got their Digital Insider little thing saying this is what's going on. And apparently, with the character builder, is non-subscribers can download a demo of the character builder and be able to make characters of levels 1 to 3 with no customization and no multi-classing. So, the beta, basically. And subscribers who pay their, you know, X amount of dollars per month, it averages out at about $10 a month if you're paying monthly, or down to $7 a month if you pay all in one lump sum, will get the fully unlocked version. And apparently there is not going to be any version of it available for purchase for non-subscribers. To this I say, you guys suck. This really, really is stupid. I haven't actually met anyone who has stuck around with the digital subscriber thing since you started paying for it. The act of making this character builder for subscribers only is just to try to force people to go into your subscription program. I'm a bit annoyed with the fact that you're going to, you know, hamstring people into using your software like that with your as of yet unrevised GSL, which you were promised a revision back in August, and you haven't released it yet. And I'm a bit annoyed that under your current plan and current scope, is other companies cannot put out their own 4E character creation software. Which means those of us who, you know, need to make a character, and I find making a character for 4th edition is relatively easy. However, I think making a higher level character, say if you want to start off at 5th level, 6th level, 8th level, whatever, is a bit more confusing than how it was in 3rd edition. Although I got really used to 3rd edition using Hero Lab. Go figure, using a computer program like Hero Lab that works well, you guys could license to them. Oh wait, you're not going to do that because you want us to pay the $7 to $10 a month to get your lovely Wiggity Dragon Magazine subscription crap. So instead of giving us a character builder that's actually going to be useful to us people who are, you know, poor in this wonderful economic climate that we're in, you are going to give us a character builder that is limited, sucks, and won't help us at all. So, yeah.
Well, up to level 3, no multi-class or customization.
Right. So, thanks for nothing, I guess. And I really, really bet that this character builder probably won't update with new classes from, like, PHB 2 or anything like that. So, good job, Wizards of the Coast, for pissing off fans again. And this is coming from me, who, as listeners, you know, I like 4th edition. I have been a proponent of WotC's activities, saying they deserve to protect their intellectual property, but I think this is one of the stupidest maneuvers they've done. that's really all I have to say on it. Thoughts?
Yeah, they could just slap a $20, you know, charge on it.
Mm-hmm.
Allow people to buy it.
And just like then, I think they could slap a $3 or $4 or $5 price tag on the PDFs of their collected PDFs of Dragon and Dungeon magazines, and sell those individually as well. But they aren't doing that either.
Yeah, all I have to say is this: I call bullshit.
Yeah.
This whole thing is just a ruse to get people to join their subscription fee so that they can make more money off of people every month. What this is nothing but greedy corporate practice. Mm-hmm. And I would not be surprised if it wasn't coming down from above Wizards of the Coast.
Coming down from Hasbro, that would make sense. And I have come to expect more intelligent actions from Wizards of the Coast. And I hope that if they listen to this, or if word gets to them that this is a stupid maneuver, that they go ahead and have the balls to change that.
Yeah.
Or the guts to actually admit they made a mistake and rectify it, for Christ's sake.
What they could do is they could, make it $20, $25, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Those people who are in their D&D Insider can get special cool little bits and pieces of things. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever. Maybe there's a special monster enhancement, whatever.
Right.
That's fine. You know, that's... Actually, that makes sense. Those people that are part of your little newsletter.
Or people who have their subscriber service can have integration of the character builder into that online game table thing that I'm never going to use. For those people who want the character builder for, you know, their tabletop games that they're playing at home
and
with their friends.
Really sad.
They can.
Really, that's going to do is make people want to make their own.
Mm-hmm. And people have already started.
Yeah.
Because they haven't revised the GSL, because it's still sort of in limbo, people have been like, screw it, here's an auto-calculating spreadsheet.
That's all you need.
And once we have those, we're going to look at them and go, why would we pay $10 a month to use yours when we got one for free that is updated regularly?
There's even an authoring kit for Hero Lab out now that does have some pointers on making a 4E compatible interface for character creation. I haven't really looked at it too much because I have to get the authoring kit for it, and I just don't have the money for that. But
in this day and age, I mean, we're all looking for ways to
save money,
and
we're all broke.
I mean, we're cutting everything else, and I'm more willing to go out and buy, you know, $20. I'm more willing to do that.
We're talking convenience here. I like being able to have an auto-calculating spreadsheet and have an autofill character builder or something like that to make characters and input characters in the computer, because it saves time, saves space, and it also double-checks my math on things.
Yeah.
Like, oh, wait, I missed a power on you. You get an extra power. That's what happened with the hucksters. In Savage Worlds. Like, oh, wait, I missed something. There you go. You get an extra power. But... You know, so people can email me and, you know, say I'm too much of a hard ass on this and say...
I don't think so. I don't think we're hard enough on this.
You can just print the character sheets out and do them by hand. Yeah, that's fine. That's great. I want a character builder on my computer. Thanks. That's
me. We keep all of our records for our games on our notebooks. It's much easier to tote around our notebooks than it is to tote around a frickin' notebook full of paper.
But I guess... Maybe it's going to just get down to typing and writing them up, unless you have the auto one. But yeah, I'm not going to
spend $10 a month just to get a fucking character sheet creator.
I haven't seen enough in the D&D Insider, from what I've noticed, to want to get
it's useless.
None of it is worth
it's not worth
$7
it.
To $10 a month for me.
There's cool little tidbits. But they're not worth it.
Tidbits are not worth $10.
Exactly.
That's a useless waste of $10.
There, and it's not complete. From what I've seen, the whole thing's not complete. Maybe
and
I'm wrong.
And it just appears to me that rather than admitting that their Digital Insider thing is not doing well, they're trying to force people into it by doing something like this.
This is what I think. They looked at it. If you look at 4th edition, there's a lot of stuff that points a lot towards online role-playing, MMORPGs. It's like they looked at it and they went, hey, we want a slice of that pie. We're going to sell the book at a set price. But we want a slice of that pie, of that monthly fee. So we're going to create this system.
Yeah.
We have no idea what we're doing with it. We actually don't have any ideas how we're going to actually flesh it out or anything. But we're going to charge people $10 a month for it, or $7 if they pay a whole year in advance. And they have no idea what the hell they're doing.
But I expected that entirely when they announced their digital,
the whole
Digital Insider
stuff. The whole digital dungeon thing? What a useless piece of shit. Unless every
It's not even out yet.
Well,
yeah,
the whole idea behind it is everybody at your desk, everybody in your group has to have a computer.
I mean, D&D 4th edition has now been out since
the
May of last year, and there is still no online game.
Everybody haven't having a computer, being able to run through it.
The D&D compendium that's online is sort of nice if you can figure out how to use it.
Yeah, I don't.
The rules thing. And to tell you the truth, it doesn't surprise me that I'm seeing now that Wizards of the Coast is putting out power cards.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
Me at all. I knew that was coming.
Hopefully they're not collectible power cards. If that's the case, I may have to blow something up.
Send a shrunken head to Watsi or something. I don't know. But anyway,
burn one in effigy? I don't know.
It's
burn a faux office in effigy?
It's very frustrating that they're doing this. And it's me as a GM, me as a player, I would rather them make this stuff available to me. But obviously they're not gonna.
They build their fan base and keep them happy if they can put out tools that maybe don't have all the bells and whistles but are free or low cost that you pay your one-time fee and move on.
But of course this is also coming from the same company that was charging the same price for their PDFs as they were for their hardback books.
Right.
Yeah, that's ridiculous too.
Well, they're no longer doing that.
Not with their new stuff.
Not with fourth edition stuff. No.
But their third edition stuff still.
Yeah, their
third
edition stuff. That was
What's the prices of the fourth? Excuse me.
It's like $5 less, isn't it?
No, they're about 20% off. They're slightly above what you would pay if you bought it off of Amazon.
For the actual.
But granted, Amazon
book.
Though, I mean, like a $30 book is $19.77 or something on Amazon. On RPG Now, you'd be able to get it for like $21. Something like that as a PDF.
But for $19, I can get a physical
book.
Plus shipping.
I don't care
about the shipping.
Book.
I think it's a bit more. I'm fine with the 20% off thing for a PDF. Is fine.
Well, no, that's fine.
You're getting a discount.
I just my thing is like one of the reasons why I don't have any PDFs is I can't stand to read anything on a computer screen, and the amount of ink or toner that you go through to print those books off is prohibitively expensive. When you add in the cost of that, you're not paying any less for that book. I can't read them on the computer screen. It makes my eyes hurt.
Well, there you go.
So,
but yeah, there you go.
That's sad.
Watsi Digital Insider stuff, character builder, stupid ideas.
Typical,
sucks.
But sad.
You're dumb. I mean, really dumb.
It's done. I'm not touching that stuff with a 10-foot pole.
And rock. Review.
Well, I'm actually doing a review on a product that we received from Goodman Games, our wonderful friends there, and they sent us one of their new products that is a licensed product from Chaosium for the Call of Cthulhu system, for the BRP, so the classic system. It doesn't state that it's actually usable for the D20 system, although with a little bit of modification you could. Yeah. It is actually an adventure called Death and Luxor.
Their conversion guidelines for converting from BRP to D20 in the Call of Cthulhu D20
book.
Game Master screen. Not the book, but the Game
it's
Master
actually,
screen.
There's actually on the back of the book, too. I have the book.
Yeah, you probably have the revised one, then.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, the adventure, reading through it, I read the adventure from front to back. It reads like a standard Call of Cthulhu adventure, that meaning that it's absolutely freaking deadly.
Well, yeah. Also talking Goodman Games, people who put out Dungeon Crawl Classics, I expect it to be deadly.
Well, it's not as deadly as Summers of Dungeon Crawl Classics, surprisingly. But, yeah. It's not
Swords of Punjar.
Or the X-Crawl series.
The X-Crawl series is there. X-Crawl is more tongue-in-cheek.
But, man, they're lethal.
Yeah.
But this game actually takes place in Egypt, which is a wonderful setting for any horror game.
And it's 1920s?
It is 1926, if I remember correctly.
Nice. So it is 1920s adventure.
Oh, I'm sorry, 1920... Oh, no, it is 1926. I was right. Takes place in Luxor, in Egypt. The map, there's a bunch of maps. There's a lot of handouts, which are really nice, that actually are, as you can see... Well, you guys can't see. They're cutouts. And actually, it states on the last page that you have permission to scan or copy any of the handouts in this to hand out to the people so that you don't actually have to ruin your copy of the adventure. The adventure is, I think it's 6 scenes, each scene running probably anywhere from probably an hour to maybe 2 hours at most, depending on how slow your players are. There's multiple ways of getting to the same conclusion in each scene to progress the scene.
12 hours later. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're on to scene 2!
Yeah. No, my considering the people who I play with Call of Cthulhu, it'd probably be more along the lines of a half an hour. My guess is with the people that I normally play Call of Cthulhu with, Ethan and the rest of the people, they would probably push through this adventure in probably about four hours.
Mm-hmm. And there are some previews on the Goodman Games site for this product. So, I mean, you can hit their website to get a PDF preview.
Yeah.
Or go to RPG Now. You actually can get a PDF preview from them, too.
The lethality in it, the interesting thing about the lethality of this adventure is that most of it is from if you do stupid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you try to force the cops out of the way to get to where you want to go, they're going to shoot you. You pull a gun on them, they're going to shoot you. Otherwise, they just tell you you can't go there. The monsters, if you leave one person by himself to guard the entrance to the place that you're in, they're going to kill him.
Isn't that what you do with NPCs you don't like?
Yes.
Yes.
There aren't a lot of NPCs in this game, actually, in this adventure. They tend to die horrible, terrible deaths.
You should bring
deaths.
An NPC with you.
Yeah.
And then leave
them. Several, yes. This Call of Cthulhu has several NPCs.
Yeah. The adventure itself is very well laid out.
The more NPCs you have, the more likely that they're going to get eaten before you.
Yeah. The way the adventure is laid out, it's laid out along the lines of the gory horror rather than the suspenseful horror. There's a lot of very violent stuff that you come across, and
Is it a mummy?
No, it's actually the creature is a starspawn, the main creature.
Oh,
and
yeah, only
a starspawn.
We'll take two.
Yeah. So
mini Cthulhus.
Yeah. Well, mini as in they're like
mini Cthulhus.
Yeah, they're only 100 feet tall.
Where do you hide that in the desert?
Well, actually, it's right on the ocean, dude. The Mediterranean.
Oh, so it's actually not. It's actually on the ocean, so it's actually in the bay, just waiting, and every once in a while.
Well, actually, no. Let me read to you actually how it happens. They actually describe what happens. See, what happened is Ramses was under attack by. There's actually stories about Ramses being attacked by people from the sea. Mm-hmm. They're pretty sure it was actually a tribe that was moving from the north, that their lands were raided and stuff. They moved in and caused problems. Well, they twisted it in this game. And they twisted it into they were being attacked by deep ones who were being led by a star spawn that had woken up.
Oh,
Ramses then in turn using spells and sacrificing, I think it's like 10,000 slaves or something, put the star spawn to sleep in a tomb in the desert and sealed it. So
it's a big tomb.
Along the lines of not my problem anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And unfortunately, some paleontologists dig up the place and unleash all hell. Because, paleontologists have, their wisdom score is like a 2.
Yeah, of course.
Three-year-olds are better at going, that's hot. Whereas a paleontologist go, ooh, touch, ow, hot, ow, hot. And they keep touching it over and over again.
And we've lost
all who enter here. I'll ring the doorbell.
And at this point, we've lost all our paleontologist friends.
I'm talking stereotypical in these games. Uh-huh. Most paleontologists would look and go,
they don't listen
yeah,
to us.
No.
I'm talking archaeologists.
Oh, I'm sorry. Archaeologists. My apologies.
But I are smart.
Dinosaur bones are fine. They're digging up dinosaur bones and Luxor. Yeah. It's fine.
Not that anybody with,
dinosaur
bones or archaeologists really listen to our show.
Yeah.
But is it, how does it measure up to like other Cthulhu adventures, though? Chaosium stuff.
The Chaosium stuff?
Mm-hmm.
It's nowhere near as long as any of the Chaosium adventures. One of the things I noticed is this is actually the first in a line of several. It actually ends with the continuation stuff it talks about in the end of the adventure, and it says, be prepared for the next adventure as we continue the Age of Cthulhu adventures. So there are going to be more.
What's the cover price on it?
The cover price, good question, is $13, so it's about a third the price of a Chaosium adventure, because Chaosium adventures are usually about $30.
And it looks like the ink is sepia.
Well, most of the ink is sepia.
It's not in color, but it is.
It is in black and white, but it has an antiquated feel.
An antique feel to it, yes.
But it says right here, presuming, let's see. The plot of the old Persian are far from over. As the events surrounding Luxor unfold, the old Abu aboards a tramp steamer vanishing from notice. The old Persian and the cursed Balakir children return in later Age of Cthulhu adventures. So, there's going to be several more. And one of the things a lot of people don't realize is a lot of the Call of Cthulhu adventures that you buy now are compilations of several adventures that were on a continuing line.
Right. Well, yeah.
I think it's going to be done along the same way. I would not be surprised if Goodman Games, once they finish the Age of Cthulhu line, after they finish all the adventures if they don't sell an actual compilation of all the adventures in one.
Well, I think talking to Goodman Games, Age of Cthulhu is going to be like a Dungeon Crawl Classics line. They're going to have it's going to keep going, and they might have story paths. That they seem to be in right now.
Well, they could do what Chaosium did is and the story paths that are all the same that go together. Right. They can put them in compilations.
They did that with a lot of the Dungeon Crawl Classics,
which was really neat. Price wise, for $13, you get a lot. You get a lot actually.
It is 13. Let me take a quick look at it.
It's about 37 pages long plus handouts.
48 pages long
with the handouts.
With the handouts.
Yeah, the adventure goes to page 37, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's well written. That's one thing that Goodman Games does not skimp on, it seems.
It's got some great handouts in the back.
Yeah, the handouts are really nice. Definitely, I'm really glad that they gave you permission to photocopy. Oh, yeah, there's a lot. And then they actually, for those of you...
characters, too. Yeah,
they're, for those of you who do not want to actually create characters for Call of Cthulhu, because you go through them like popcorn, there's pre-generated characters in the back that you can use. There's maps throughout the book for the various different areas, which you can photocopy and give to your group members if they actually do things like look around. There's even maps of various different areas which look like they could be scaled to minis, so that one of the hideouts, the bolt hole, looks like it's about sized for using miniatures, and I think it's Alexis's bolt hole. So the
maps do have a grid on them. It's a light grid, but I mean also miniatures are not required
Required for Call of Cthulhu, although they do add a lot of flavor, especially when you pull out that star spawn and put it on the table because people start shitting bricks.
That is true.
Do you have a star spawn?
I do indeed have a star spawn, and it's about this big. it's about 5 inches tall. It's one of the old Raphim Cthulhu models miniatures. Because for the Cthulhu,
how's the balance on it? Do you think, adventure wise?
Because
this is Harley Stroh. He's the same. Harley's the same guy who did two of the Dungeon Crawl Classics we've looked at. So,
well, the balance wise, it is heavier towards the academic skills rather than the combat skills, which for a Call of Cthulhu game is the way it really should be.
I mean, you don't go into a Call of Cthulhu game expecting to kill monsters.
Yeah, you don't go into Call of Cthulhu with guns blazing because all you're going to end up doing is getting yourself killed. Mm-hmm. It's very, very, very skill based. It actually tells you in the back of the book what skills are most used in the in the adventure. So if your characters want hints, you can say, well, these skills might come in handy considering you're in Egypt in the 1920s during the heydays of archaeology.
Not paleontology.
Right.
Yeah. They're not digging up dinosaur bones, but El Bahariya is an oasis where they found the only Spinosaurus.
Would you rate this
bones.
As a good introductory adventure?
No.
No, it's
no. You got to know a little bit about Cthulhu before you play that adventure. But the thing is for introductory adventures, there's three of them in the actual Call of Cthulhu book.
Mm-hmm.
So if you need introductory adventures, you run them through that. This would not be a bad follow-up adventure.
Right.
This is definitely something I'd recommend running before running the Star Spawn of Azathoth or the Stars of Azathoth or whatever that 280 page adventure I have.
Yeah.
Which is ungodly, horrifyingly, terribly deadly. This would be good to run before that.
Mm-hmm.
But as an introductory adventure, I don't think it would work great. Our players need to have a basic comprehension of how the system works, and this would not do a good way of setting it up, because you have to be able to be like a detective with this game. That being said, $13, it's worth every penny. Handouts are great. The adventure's good. It's not a super long adventure, but for $13, you get a lot of the bang for the buck, which during this day and age with the current economic, as we've been saying over and over again.
How many nights do you think it would take to get through it?
Well, it depends. Depends on how fast your party moves. If you've got a really good party that's very good at doing investigative work, like my group when I run Call of Cthulhu,
500 years
probably, later. probably four or five hours. There's six scenes in it.
That's cool.
4 or 5 hours, so it could be run in a single night. Now, if you're running it with a newer group that's just gotten used to the Call of Cthulhu system, it'll probably take probably a couple nights. It's like I said, it's not like the big adventures from Chaosium, which are
it's
2-3 months.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah, it's not a 4 month adventure.
It's not Horror on the Orient Express.
Oh God.
Yeah.
I have never seen.
It won't take you a year and a half to get through this game.
Yeah, I have never seen more character sheets you wasted than on Horror on the Orient Express. I think I saw a record of like 34 character sheets because this one person just couldn't get their head out of their rear. And it was like every time, I'm going to go down this tunnel by myself. And you're dead.
Lots of botches. It's always fun. But yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
I recommend it.
All right. Definite.
Once my perfect world was gone, I knew you ruined everything in the nicest way.
The Rave.
I'm kind of tired. But... Okay.
Jeremy has a rave.
I have a rave.
He's got the acid out, and
yes.
You know he's got the pacifiers. He's starting to dance.
It's about $20 to get in.
So we each had to give him $20. Yeah. I still think that's a scam, but
yeah, me too.
Ethan's gonna put directions on site.
Yep. Uh huh.
You have to bring your own snacks.
It's also BYOB.
Yeah.
Send money ahead of time. Before you have to pay it before you arrive, so just go ahead and put it in the mail.
If it looks like an empty warehouse, just wait.
Yes, we are stealthy like the ninja. Anyway,
and obviously richer too. Anyway, so yes, recently we started playing the Savage Worlds. Good old
Deadlands,
which you know. I liked Deadlands from before. I had some problems with some of the system. Combat took a little bit longer than I liked, but Deadlands was a good game because of the characters and the world itself.
Combat was also a little
complicated. I've got to say that Savage Worlds here has really made it so much more fun. I mean, we had the Deadlands background, the character creation... the cards, the deck of cards, everything. But combat, skill checks, everything just works so much quicker. It's so much more fast-paced. You can really get into your character, get into the game. And I've got to say, for starting like a new game or a new system, I really like it. So we were talking about earlier about the different systems that or the different settings that they have, and I've got to say, you know, for a cowboy game for Deadlands, this works great. I could see it in a swashbuckler game, some of the high fantasy. I know it will never happen, but I'd love to see a Star Wars game on this. The dice in basically you have your attribute dice, and then you have your what is it, a luck dice,
it's a fate die,
It's your wild card.
Wild card. Probably different names in each little setting, but anyway, wild card die. It's a dice six. Everything's open-ended, so if you roll that six on your wild card, or if you roll whatever the maximum on your attribute dice, you can keep going. It's very simple. You just have to beat a difficulty. Different things have different penalties. But it's so nice to be able to just, you know, take your two dice, you roll... And you can still do so many heroic things. I can see where it is and can be very bloody and very short-lived if you got on a roll of bad luck. But it's still balanced enough that I don't think that will happen a lot. You have your fate chips, or they have a different name for them. Bennies or...
Yeah, Bennies.
Bennies. So I gotta say, you know, just these most recent games... the Savage World, really like it. Looking forward to playing it, especially in Deadlands. Looking forward to playing it in another setting even. And yeah, I may even have to pick up a copy at some point.
You can get the Explorer's Edition for $10, or I think even that's in print, or I think you might even be able to get it cheaper. Let me check RPGnow.com. Savage Worlds, it's $10 in print. And you can buy the Savage Worlds PDF version for... it's also $10.
Well, I may have to take some $10 at some point in the near future down to my
tabletop,
to local gaming store tabletop, and pick that up because I really do like it.
Yeah, I'm,
so you know,
I have to admit, I'm enjoying the system too. One of the things I do like is how much more simplified the combat is. I remember having to keep track of wounds on various different parts of our body, and that was a pain in the ass.
There was.
See, putting that, paper clips on various different parts of our body for the different colors.
I like the old Deadlands because of the setting and some of the rules, but some of the rules were so crunchy that I just it bogged it down. But this Savage Worlds, I gotta say, I like it for fast-paced games, especially a cowboy game. Like I said, a swashbuckling game, a pirate game, you know, anything like that. You know,
the thing about Savage Worlds is it's an open system.
Yeah,
it's a light like D20, like OGL. It's an open license. Fans can put out stuff for it for free and even charge for stuff for
it. Think about a Star Wars game with that.
Just doing a cursory look, there are several Star Wars conversions for Savage Worlds.
That's nice. That's very nice. But anyway, that I know not the most exciting, but hey, try Savage Worlds. It's sweet. You're gonna have a lot of fun.
Apparently
character creation, easy.
There's a Savage Worlds conversion for Battlestar Galactica, for the Fallout games.
Don't know about Fallout, but Battlestar Galactica would be
kind of cool. You know what would also be really cool, as Jeremy said in the last game? A Serenity, a Firefly setting.
Ooh, a Serenity setting, and that would be awesome.
That would be freaking sweet.
Just because the system itself is so simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anyone can learn that.
Not to take anything away from, you know, Margaret Weiss's productions. Firefly,
oh, no, not at all.
Game. The Serenity game.
Serenity game. But, yeah, I think the rules are just so fast-paced for Savage Worlds, it would be an interesting
I'm still
system.
A D&D, you know, but fanatic, but I got to say,
at, there's actually a fan Savage site World. Called SavageHeroes.com that has a bunch of fan conversions, and there's Star Wars, there's James Bond, there's Call of Cthulhu.
A spy game with that there's would be sweet.
Conan, there's a cyberpunk conversion, there's a Warhammer 40K Dark Heresy RPG conversion.
Oh, yeah, that's funny.
There is...
Warhammer 40K that died shortly after it came out.
Yeah, but that might
there's
be funny as a conversion.
Like an AD&D style conversion. There's an Earthdawn conversion.
Ooh, I'd play that one.
Fading Suns, Fallout, Farscape.
A Farscape?
There is a Firefly.
And the Fire...
Hackmaster, Heavy Gear, Judge Dredd, Legend of the Five Rings.
Ooh, that's nice.
Mage the Ascension.
There's not
a Lord
bad.
Of the Rings conversion. There's a Matrix game, Matrix version.
I could see that, but that'd be better in Feng Shui.
There's a MechWarrior conversion. There's a conversion of a fudge game called Mutant Bikers of the Atomic Wastelands.
Sweet. Never played that. Not sure if I would.
There's a Paranoia conversion. It's like there's quite a few on here. Space 1889, Star Trek, Star Wars, Starship Troopers.
Well, there you go.
Traveler, Twilight
it's,
2000.
Looks like it sounds like it's popular.
Warcraft, Warhammer. Yeah.
Either way.
Tons of fan conversions out there.
I'm having a lot of fun with it. It's simple. I think it'd be a good one to start people on.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I think it'd be an easy one to learn. But it has the role-playing aspects. Quick.
I agree. I think the system is a very, very streamlined system for starting introducing new players. What's the word I'm looking for? It's rules light.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it is when you think about it. I mean, it definitely does head heavily towards having miniatures and a map mm-hmm. layout. I mean, that's pretty much that's going to be a necessity.
The Savage Worlds system developed, as I understand it, the Savage Worlds generic system developed from a Pinnacle's miniatures game they put out called Deadlands The Great Rail Wars, and that was sort of the first iteration it took and streamlined the Deadlands rules for miniatures combat, and it sort of grew from there into the Savage World setting, or the Savage World system. So, I like it. Running it, it's once you get the rules down, I'm fairly confident with it in that you know, if you're making a check, 9 times out of 10, you're making a check against difficulty 4, and that's it. You know, it's, and that makes it easier on the GM, because then he doesn't have to go, well, what's the difficulty on this? It's like, well, it's target number 4, go.
Yeah. If there's penalties, well, there you go.
Subtract penalties, it from the dice. That's up to the player. It's like, hey, you're at a minus 4. Done.
Remember that.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. It's nice so far. I'm enjoying the heck out of running the game, and I'm enjoying the system. I think is quite solid. So
well, and the advancement is easy.
Mm-hmm.
It feels it's not so much that you're not advancing. Right. You know, going up to that 5 experience points,
mm-hmm.
and then advancing, and knowing that you're going to at least get one every game or more,
right?
You know,
if you keep your bennies,
that's nice, because there is advancement, but advancement is easy too.
Mm-hmm.
It's not super difficult. Like
it's not like White Wolf.
Yeah,
it's where not it's like White Wolf. Oh, you did this, congratulations, but you also screwed up on this, so I get to take these many experience points away from
you. But even again,
and you don't need a huge chart to figure stuff.
While
out.
I really like D&D, leveling up could take a full session.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you have people that haven't played a lot or don't play a lot, leveling
it takes,
up.
Yeah, it takes a while.
Whether 3.5, whether 4th edition, whatever, leveling up can take a decent amount of time. And this, you just pick a thing, you know, edge, mm-hmm. skill, attribute, whatever.
Yeah, I agree.
So I guess this was kind of a review, too. But either way, try it.
I agree with Jeremy on that.
I think that's our rave.
This podcast is supported by RPG Now, the leading source of indie role-playing games, with over 10,000 RPG titles from over 500 creators and publishers. There are new RPG treasures to discover every day at www.rpgnow.com.
GMDice.com, one of the best sources online for dice of any kind for any game. You can look at their GM blog, Roll Virtual Dice, check out their vast assortment of dice from 4-siders all the way up to 100-siders, and you get a random free die with any order over $10. Visit them at www.gmdice.com.
Well, we are back with some wonderful random encounters for this episode. And this episode, we have several bits of random encounters to catch up on real quick. So I'll just jump straight to the first one. Victor Wyatt wrote to us and said, I liked your gender roles episode and had a good laugh when you got into the book discussion at the end of the show. Sure, many of those books were first written in the early 1900s, including Black God's Kiss by C.L. Moore. Catherine Lucille Moore. I've not gotten around to reading it yet, but the comment about the sexist writing in her book gave me a chuckle. Anyway, I've been interested in trying the Gygax books, and the Anubis Murders does sound like a good read. Thanks much for giving me a list of books to add to my ever-growing wish list, Victor.
Those books, the Gygax books, are great. They're a lot of fun.
No, the Anubis Murders series is good.
I liked them all. The three that I've read.
Yeah, the Anubis Murders. The Anubis Murders, the Sekhmet Conspiracy, or the something Conspiracy.
The Sekhmet, something like that.
Yeah.
I've read them all, so
yeah,
I don't remember.
I read them a while ago. I should read them again. Those are good books. I like a lot of the books that Gary Gygax wrote about the thief.
Oh, yeah. The short story one was really cool.
But I could not get into... the one that was in
you all collectively hated Elak and Atlantis.
Oh God!
Yeah, it was terrible.
Elak,
that was a horrible
stab
book.
Him in the face. I hated that guy.
He was a dick.
Black God's Kiss is the one with the chick.
See, that was so. I after talking to my wife because she read part. She's like, I mean, at first I was like, this book seems.
Sexist.
Well, you know, at first it's kind of like, well, she's a cool warrior and stuff, but then you're like. This is very sexist.
Yeah.
Well, we also got some more email from everyone's favorite resident, Brent, Eighth Pagan, sent us a couple emails. His first one says, hi, just a few comments on the latest episode. He's talking about episode 41. I'm another one of the many that enjoyed Neverwinter Nights enough to buy Neverwinter Nights 2 and regretted it.
Oh, the God, game did I'm not sorry.
The game did not crash that I recall, but I didn't get that far. Story just didn't lure me into playing. collector's version I had was the lawful good one, I think. It had a gargantuan, or was it a colossal giant, in the package, a copy of Neverwinter Nights 1, and an art book. Although the booklet is more accurate, or booklet is in a more accurate description.
What the hell?
Our collector's version didn't have anything like that.
I haven't got nothing. I spent the money, I got nothing. I hate them. I hate them so much.
Not really worth it, to be honest, although the giant comes into play anytime I need a figure of that size. Not that often, actually. With regard to Mass Effect, it's not just about an alien sex scene. It's about an alien lesbian sex scene.
I was waiting for that.
Whoa.
Maybe next time I send you a link to a picture of a fairy, I should use an anonymous email. My theory on that picture is that the artist had it lying around and just de-smutified it a bit, but not a lot, obviously. This is, of course, talking about the infamous picture.
Jeez, that was...
My God.
Let's put that on a book.
On December 24th, very late at night, Mansquito was on the Sci-Fi Channel in the UK. It's stored on my DVD recorder, but I have not been brave enough to watch
it
yet.
Don't do it!
I'm worried the movie might also be so bad that it breaks my TV.
Don't do it!
Well, if we've caught you in time, it probably will break your TV. If not, we are not liable for any damages.
Yeah.
Now, he also sent us another email saying, I was aware of David Icke being crazy, but I had not heard the lizard invasion story. We are so very proud of him in the UK. Please note, the previous statement was spoke with contempt and sarcasm. He is a nutter, mad as a hatter, out of his tiny mind, insane. So mad he makes George W. Bush look moderately sane.
Whoa. My God.
Well,
I'm not sure about that one.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. George W. Bush at least isn't openly espousing lizard man conspiracy, so there is that.
Yeah.
A padded cell and straitjacket would be the best gifts anyone could ever give him, but that's just my opinion. I did find it amusing that he was only considered the third most eccentric star in the BBC Homes and Antiques magazine in 2006. Bjork and Chris Eubank beat him. But I think he makes Bjork look sane. If you're not aware of Chris Eubank, he's a British boxer. Yeah.
Wow.
I guess if we did a top 10 list of absolute crazy people that are in Britain from our perspective, he would be at the top of the list. Because he's
freaking crazy.
We could do a David Icke show.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah. We could do a whole David Icke show, but we're not. It's Pagan Austin Musson said, hi, Ethan. Thought you might be interested in a few words on Freedom's Most Wanted for Mutants and Masterminds. It has 7 new villain groups and 36 solo villains. Power level ratings from 4 to 18, but the majority are 8 to 12 range. Sweet. Although most groups are tied in an era, gold and silver, iron, modern, they can be adapted. One thing worthy of note for the solo villains, and very useful in my opinion, is the inclusion of a learning about section for each villain. This allows the PCs to use gather information to find out about the history and or criminal connections of the villain. A second skill check, usually a knowledge check, specific skills vary by villain, can dig up more information about them. There are also some plot hooks called capers listed for solo villains and teams. An appendix at the end of the book lists the villains by power level with page number, era, and a few words about the villain. Very good layout, and I'll be using some of the villains on my campaign in the near future. Gary, or 8th Pagan, and I have been talking now and again about Mutants and Masterminds. He's a big fan. And I have taken a look at Freedom's Most Wanted, and it is an awesome villain book. So I'm very happy about it, and obviously since I run a Freedom City campaign, it is something I will definitely use. Then we got an email from... Let's see. Real quick, a couple people have been emailing us about the Keep on the Shadowfell and like where is it gone? Well, the fates keep conspiring against us since the holidays. Obviously, we had to take a break because of Christmas and New Year's and all that. And then really every time since then that we've tried to get together for it, someone's either been sick, couldn't make it, or all of the above. So, like, for example, we were going to play it a couple weeks ago. I got the flu, and then the next weekend I ran my game, and wouldn't work for people. So the weekend after that wouldn't work for people, and et cetera, et cetera. We were going to run it this Sunday, but now it's not going to happen. So it is going to be finished. We got about 2 more sessions left, and so I just say please bear with us, and we will finish up Keep on the Shadowfell. The last email I got here is from a Carl Gillespie. And he apparently is going through all of our old shows and listening to a few things. And he had this to say about our review of City of Heroes way back in the day. Said, "Hi there, Game is Haven crew. I recently began to listen to your podcast and just heard the review you guys did for City of Heroes. I don't know if you still play or if you've kept up with City of Hero news, but some of your gripes, like the police not doing anything, wanting more zone events, hard to solo, etc., have been addressed. Not all of them. A lot of the older content is still repetitive, but I think you guys might have a better experience with the game this time around, especially once issue 14 goes live, which should happen within the next couple months, as it will contain the mission architect, which allow you to create your own missions and story arcs." That is cool. I would try City of Heroes again, probably jump in one of their free weekends or something like that. But obviously, monetary considerations have pretty much locked us all out of things like that.
Yeah. Well, my wife and I aren't even playing World of Warcraft or Warhammer Online. I mean, my subscription for Microsoft Xbox Live is coming up, and I've already canceled it. I mean, anything that's extraneous.
We're in some hard economic times right now, but I don't know if I would jump back into City of Heroes.
I wouldn't.
If they had a free weekend, I might jump in just to see what it's like. But it's I just don't know if it's really what I'm looking for anymore. But I mean, anyone who has listened to our old shows knows that we were kind of hard on City Heroes, and we've gotten a couple emails about it. And
a lot.
Honestly, I stand by my review of it.
I agree.
I totally do.
I do. We don't know what the new stuff is. But
exactly,
it could be really.
I'm glad
cool.
to hear that they're working on it, that they haven't given up on it, that they are trying to make it better.
And that is part of it.
You know, obviously there is Champions Online coming out sometime soon, which will be nice to see later rather than sooner,
because it keeps getting pushed back.
Yeah, better late than never in some cases. But it is something to look forward to. But it's hard to do a good superhero game. I understand that, and wasn't for us, but maybe I'll give it a shot again. Thanks for the email, though. Thanks for letting us know that they're at least working on some of that.
Thanks
stuff.
For listening to our old shows.
Yeah, that's nice.
I don't even listen to our old shows.
It's nice to hear
any of our
shows. That's true.
I
don't
any of our shows. My wife does, though. God forbid why. No, it's nice to hear that they're actually trying to keep the system up. It's like I used to play EverQuest, and they're continuing to update that system. I don't even think I would recognize it anymore.
Yeah.
A super villain game, is a good idea, and we just had some issues with some of it at the time. So.
The problem, and I think it's still going to be a problem, because of the way the game is set up, there's just not enough content and not enough individuality in the actual settings that you go into. Now, I may be wrong. They may have updated the living hell out of it.
Oh, yeah.
But... I beta tested City of Villains, and it was like I went from place to place and did the same thing. The what was cool about City of Villains was you had all sorts of different things like bank robberies, and that was cool. Stuff like that.
As far as I know, they have incorporated some of that stuff in there, and it sounds like they've incorporated a lot more cool stuff. But again, it's really more of a monetary consideration now that I just can't justify spending some money on it. Occasionally I know they do a free weekend thing or something like that, and I might jump in just to see how it's running and see its little thing. I'm still on their mailing list, so who knows? Maybe in the future we will be jumping around City of Heroes again. But I wouldn't hold your breath.
I still like my character.
Yeah.
So
I've also got Massive Defender in. He's just awesome.
Well, their movement powers were pretty sweet.
Oh. Yeah.
They were the best thing
Super
about
jump
the whole game.
All the way, man.
I loved flying because it was just teleportation,
flying, speed. That's
Super
all
speed
I wanted.
Fun.
All I wanted was the speed. I didn't care about the attacks. I wanted was the movement powers.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's about right.
They should have just built the game around movement powers.
Totally. Yeah. Anyway, that's it for the random encounters this episode. So
we hope you've enjoyed the show.
Yeah, we hope you've enjoyed... at least a vast quantity of the show. If you haven't, email us and
tell us what we did wrong.
But thank you for listening. That's it for Gamers Haven episode 43.
Look out for lizard people.
Yes,
their eyes being sideways.
Everywhere. They also might be Skrulls, but that's sort of up in the air.
Squirrels?
Skrulls.
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 I don't know what Skrulls are.
It's an alien.
Alien from the comic.
What? Totally.
It's all right.
He'll be the first.
They're outside your
anyway,
window.
Thank you for listening. Have a good week, guys.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.
You've been listening to the Gamers Haven Podcast. You can find us on the web at www.canadiancrusaders.com. The Gamers Haven Podcast is a member of the Vorpal Network at www.vorpalnetwork.com. Gamers Haven and Thousand Monkey Productions are copyright 2008 and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 3.0 United States license, some rights reserved. Stop by our website to check out our actual play feed, fill out our feedback guest book, or hit us on the forums. Music on the show is used with permission by Joe Hero Band, www.joehero.com, and this has been a Thousand Monkeys production.